Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so glad that you tuned in on this wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. But praise God, we are here. And I say that often, but I think sometimes we forget the significance of what that really means, that we are still here. We are still here because God has a plan and a purpose for us, and we have to carry out that plan and purpose, praise God, because if we don't, amen, we have hardship, and we have hardship because we're not following the things that God has designed and purposed for us. And so in order for us to move forward, We have to do the things that are according to his plan and purpose. And so sometimes he has to stretch us to allow us to learn what needs to be learned, to do what needs to be done. And so on tonight, I'm so excited about this particular topic, and I'm excited because I have a special friend that's going to join me in a few moments. But nevertheless, if this is your very first time to the broadcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. I try to make sure that we always have a encouraging lesson, one that you are educated with, and one that you'll be empowered, not just to make the necessary changes that you hear about, but to share it with someone else. And so I pay close attention, at least I try to the things that God lays on my heart to share, because I believe that in this hour that we all need to hear an encouraging word. We all need to hear how we are to operate in this system. And then as he has instructed all of us to be ministers of his word, to take that change, that necessary change that we had to make in our lives to see the goodness of God, and then help someone else be just as proactive in doing what needs to be done that we did to prevent them from going through the hardships that we encountered. And then, praise God, to even, you know, reap some of the successes that we have just because we follow the things of God. And so, again, welcome, welcome, welcome for those of you, like I said, that are brand new. But I have to acknowledge those of you that have been with me for years, praise God, going on our 9th year. Can you believe that? 9 years we've been in this thing. And going on 9 years, we've completed 8. But praise God, nevertheless, it is a long time to be in one platform and still being able to help and change the lives of people, doing what God has called you to do. And so I'm so grateful that those of you that have been with me, whether it's been 2 years, 2 months, the whole 8 years, you have been here to keep me focused, to keep me encouraged, to keep me studying, to show myself approved so I can rightly divide God's word. And then you keep me focused and keep me encouraged. And that's why it's so important. The topic that we'll talk about today of being stretched is so important. And then not only do I have those that have been in my life to help me during the broadcast, praise God, I have two wonderful mentors, Jesse and Tammy Stewart, and the Mega Ministry Group that has been supporting me in the backbone of me even being on this platform, because I didn't know that this was a platform for me. I was used to being in the classroom, but they said, no, you need a bigger classroom, and that platform is radio. And so I'm so grateful that they empowered me and they continue to be strong advocates and witnesses for me to be accountable to God just as they are, to be accountable for those that may even see me in that light. And so I'm just grateful. And so I don't take it lightly. So I always make sure that I acknowledge the people that are important to me. And then I always, always give God his credit. Praise God. Because when he says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. But nevertheless, I am grateful that we have an opportunity to teach for an hour. And so before we go into the lesson, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you first and foremost that you are divine and that we're just branches, but we can be branches that are connected to you so that we can remain in you and have fruit that will remain. We thank you, Father, that we take that lightly too. And I thank you, Father, for allowing my guest on tonight to remind me the significance of having fruit that will remain and why it's necessary for us to be obedient to the things of God. Because when we are, praise God, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted because we remain in him and his words remain in us. And when we ever, ever get to the point where we forget that we can't do nothing without God, I mean, amen. It's a scary thing. So we thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the force shield that you have around us. And you do that because you love us. And, Father, we just want to say that we love you. And so we're taking this time to acknowledge you and your awesomeness and all the things that you have given us so that we can remain faithful on this path. You gave us your word that gives us instruction. You allow the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and in our minds to give us the unction of when to speak, when to be quiet, when to slow down, when to move forward. It just comforts our heart and our soul. And so we just thank you. And more importantly, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that gives us the authority and the power that we need by the sacrifice that was made for our sins. Praise God. We didn't deserve it, but he did it. And so we thank you, Father. Even for those that don't even know, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you will give us an opportunity to encourage those that don't know so that they will know, to acknowledge you and allow you to be their shepherd. Because if you our shepherd, Father. We don't have to want, and so we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your correction. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for your love. And we pray, Father, that you'll be part of this lesson on tonight, and that you'll give the words as well as my special guests so that we can encourage those that are listening, whether it's tonight, 2 years from now, or 2 months from now, to be blessed and to do what is necessary so that they can be strengthened to greatness. We love you, we honor you, and we adore you. We thank you for no distractions. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so before I introduce my guest, praise God, it's so encouraging to have close people near you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about in this particular passage of scriptures that God chose for us tonight is why it's important for us to understand that God didn't intend for any of us to be alone. He always places people in our hearts and in our minds and in our path to help us to stay on the narrow path. The path that the enemy wants for us is mighty wide, and I call it Vegas because it has all the lights and the bells and the whistles, and it draws you to it because just the system and the way that the enemy designed it. But God's path is narrow, and we want to make sure that we find that path, and so that there is more success on that path than the enemy in the world tries to make us believe that, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's a lie. Amen. We want to be on the right path, and we want to be on the path. It may look dark sometimes, but praise God, we're on the right path because God's grace and mercy always follows. And so this particular passage of scripture kind of gets us in that mindset. And so I want to give you kind of a precursor of this particular passage of scripture. We're going to be doing the Old Testament tonight. We're going to do Ecclesiastes. And so some say Ecclesiastes, but anyway, I learned Ecclesiastes, and it sounded cool when we were memorizing our books of the Bible. So nevertheless, I call it Ecclesiastes. But that's in your Old Testament, and we'll be reading from the fourth chapter. And so one of the things that I always love to do, especially when I'm studying, is to kind of get an understanding of who the author is, kind of have an understanding a little of the background story. And it's good when you're studying the Word of God that you know these things, because then you have a better understanding of why it was written, who it really addressed, does this really apply to me, or is this something that just happened during that time? Nevertheless, all word that God has spoken is ordained by him. But we also want to make sure that we have a greater understanding when we're reading to understand why he led us to the passage of scripture. And so this particular book was written by the wonderful King Solomon. He was one of the richest and famous, but more importantly, he was one of the wisest men in the Bible. And so he wrote this particular book. And many scholars believe that he wrote it because he had so much money, he had so many resources, that he really petitioned God to find out what was the point of everything. And that's why a lot of the passages in the scripture talks about everything being meaningless. And so I love reading this book, especially it was one that my father encouraged me to read often, because he was a wisdom man, and he believed in common sense ain't common to everybody, and so you need to pray for wisdom because it gives it liberally. And so every time I would get in trouble, and that was kind of often back then, that was the thing that it was always driven to me, you know, ask God, pray and ask God for wisdom, pray and ask God for wisdom. And so because I got so in trouble often with him, of course, I was always asking God for wisdom, because I didn't like the punishment, the capital punishment that he used to give. And so in the process of me asking for wisdom, I'm grateful. Now, I didn't appreciate it in the earlier part of my years, because I didn't understand why other people didn't understand what I understood. But because I asked God and have been sincerely asking God for wisdom, I sometimes see things faster, or I see the end before the beginning, so I can see steps that most people can't see because they haven't enlightened themselves. And so, like I said, the coolest thing about God is that if you ask, he will give it to you, because he doesn't withhold anything from you to master the purpose and the assignment that he has for you. And so when we talk about Solomon and how wise he was, I think we have to remember, too, that one of the things that I love, and I talked to a friend of mine not long ago about our children and how we're supposed to train up our children. And so you know, I'm at a state where, you know, I got one child that's grown and one that thinks she's grown. And so she said, Leah, but still you have to train them. That doesn't go away. And so that reminded me that God is constantly in a mode of training us. And so it doesn't matter how old we ever get, he's always training. And so because he's always training and leading by example, we get to see with our own children why we continually pray for them and why we pray that they receive the best. So I can only imagine that King Solomon's father, which was David, another prominent character that lived and walked out his assignment, David, he must have prayed earnestly for his son and why God had endowed him in the path that he was on. And so we want to make sure that when we read this passage of scriptures, that we understand that I believe Solomon's main job, even though he did all these things meaningless and, you know, it was basically for us to not squander God's blessing nor his glory. And so I believe that in the past couple of weeks, as we've been talking about the enemy and how he throws his fiery darts to kill, steal, and destroy. And last week we talked about black lies, white lies, and we talked about all the other different colors that the world has specified to almost seemingly glorify lying. Lying, it matters because it matters to God. He does not desire for any of us to lie, but he also desires for us to live and to live abundantly. And so in order for us to do that, we have to ask for a portion of wisdom to make sure that we understand what God is actually requiring us to do with the time that we have here on the planet. And so, like I said, the book of Ecclesiastes is mainly a book of wisdom, and it gives us a better understanding if we understand what Ecclesiastes means. And so basically from translation, it's a Latin word, but in the Greek and in the Hebrew, is basically translated to teacher or preacher. And so as we go through this lesson, we'll get to see why there is a lesson involved in this. And so it can be preached as well as it could be taught. But let's go to the word. Now, the whole chapter of 4 is probably interesting for all of us to read, but I'm only going to specify on a couple before I invite my special guest. So I'm just going to read the first couple parts until we get to the main topic of our lesson. So we'll start with the first verse in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, or Ecclesiastes, however you want to say it. But it starts with, again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no comfort. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they had no comforter. I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living, who are still alive, but better and both is the one who has never been born. That's interesting, right? Who has never seen the evil that is under the sun. And I saw all the toil, all of the achievement sprang from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. And so I want to really kind of focus today on the chasing of the wind and why it is important for us to understand what that really means and why sometimes in us chasing after the wind, we have to be pulled back. And that's why many times we often have to deal with the stretching, if you will. But I want to read on a little bit. Verse 5 says, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There he was, no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless. A miserable business. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have good returns for their labor. If either of them fall down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And how can they keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. a cord of three strands is not not quickly broken. I'm going to try to say this so easily. I have that memorized. But nevertheless, one of the things that I want to really kind of stress, especially when when God gave me this passage of scripture and I kind of allowed myself to really ponder on when God said in the beginning that man should not be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And so many times when we're going through challenges in life, the enemy makes us believe that, no, you can do this by yourself. You don't need nobody. You're going to have people be in your business. And so we tend to withdraw. And so even this past year when I was going through my sicknesses, I was trying to determine who I wanted to come and help me and what was necessary. And praise God, when they didn't show up, I withdrew. And so how insane that was, but praise God, God knew what I needed, not because I necessarily needed it, I believe. I believe it's because of all the prayers and all the commitments that I had made to God prior to that his grace was sufficient. And he allowed me to see what I needed to see in those moments of my deep darkness by myself as a point of stretching me to understand that when you pray, and my favorite scripture, I'm the vine and you are the branches, if a man remains in me, well, I get so caught up believing that I understand that scripture because I understand he's the vine. I understand that I'm just the branch. But again, I keep making the same error in believing that I acknowledge him as divine and I'm just a branch. But as soon as a situation comes, the enemy helps me, convinces me that, remember, you got this. You know, you the super saint, and you got this because he's divine, remember, and you just a branch. And so in my mind, again, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm giving God glory and I'm praising and I'm thanking him and I'm doing all these things. But all the while, I'm still believing somewhere that I could be divine because I'm trying to determine who I want to come by, who I want to say the things I need to be said, who I want. And so I had to be reminded. And so in the times when I was kind of alone, God sent two main people that really kept me focused. And one of them happens to be the person that's going to introduce in a few moments. But it was the coolest thing because God has blessed me with three main people in this season. And so I'm grateful that God blesses me with a lot of people that I engage with. But there's only certain people that God allows us to go into the holies of holies to really help us to really be, what's the best word to say, to be convicted, to do the things that we are required to do. And so it's simple and easy for people to say, girl, come on, you got that, you can do that. And then it's a whole other thing. And like, oh, no, we're not doing that. Mm-mm. I'm not even going to let you go down that path. No, ma'am. Where is your word? We're going to go back to the word. And so you need those kind of people in your life. And you may not question whether or not where they place in your hierarchy of people that you count on, praise God. But they're the people that God sends you. And when they're the people that God sends you, you have to take notice because you know that they love you and that they're saying what God has called you to do and to say. And so this particular passage came from her. And so it was cool when she wrote it because it just reminded me again that I can call on her when I need her. I don't talk to her every week. I don't even talk to her every other week. But when we talk, God, it's always encouraging. It's always uplifting. And it's always motivating me to go back to the word. And so I am grateful that she texted me today. And I said, I didn't get a chance to call you and really kind of touch base on what we talk about. I just know that me and you, we know when the Lord, moves, he moves. And she texted me back and she said, remember Oprah and Gail. And that touched me. And I had to take a pause. I was in class and had to take a pause because that meant something to me because she understood where I was coming from, which I already knew she would. But sometimes, again, those people that God places in your heart will give you the reminders that you need to be where you need to be at the time that you need to be there. Because many times, again, we try to be the vine and put the people that we think should be in our corners when it's not necessarily those people that we need to get us over the hump. It is actually the people God places in our hearts because they're going to say the right things and do the right things at the right time. And so, nevertheless, I would love to share with each of you Minister Elaine Donaldson. So, Minister Elaine, are you here?
I am here. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. Awesome introduction to the lesson. Thank you for the introduction. And this is a great topic, and I'm excited to be here with you.
Amen. And so I've already read the scripture, and so I wanted to kind of talk about how one of the things that Solomon talks about being meaningless, and why we can have all the money and it'd be meaningless if we don't have anybody to share it with. It could be meaningless to have all the money, and then we're not actually doing what God has called us to do. And so I like how he separates these. It's like three different storylines, if you will, in this passage of scriptures on in chapter 4. But the first two I really want to talk about and ask you a couple questions on how you see things, because I think sometimes we get caught up in, just because we think that we've achieved certain things, that is still kind of meaningless, and how we're always searching for something different. You know, we always think somebody has something better. And that's what the author was talking about when he kept talking about chasing the wind, how we're not content in the things that we have already. We can always look and believe that somebody's doing better than us, and then question where we are, when we're many times where we're supposed to be. But we question because we're always chasing after something. And the author says that this is meaningless, that verse 4 says that we toil and we achieve and spring from one another's envy of another. And so, you know, you're doing well, and so now I'm mad, or I feel like I got to do more to get where you are. Yeah, why do you think he made an impact to call it chasing after the wind? And then why do you think that in the same breath he says it's meaningless?
I think because, first and foremost, chasing the wind. Okay, we know that the wind is real because we can feel it on our face. We can feel it. We know that the wind exists. But I believe the author is saying, why do you chase the wind? What motivates you? Because if you're not motivated by God's assignment, then you're in the wrong, because we should be living our life first and foremost for him. Some of us, we chase the wind because we want to be the best, not because God has placed us there. We want to say, okay, I'm better than you. I've made the sales goal of the year. Okay, this is proven. I'm beating myself up to be number one. I want you to be envious of me. Because that envy thing kind of goes both ways. You can chase the wind because you're jealous of someone or you want what they have, but you can also chase the wind because you want somebody to be envious of you, which is wrong, because if you're not in God's assignment, then you can't catch the wind. You can't. It goes through your fingers. It goes through your hair. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. It exists, but it's not. It's not something that is called for you to do. It's not a goal. It's what we talked about, being stretched. You know, when you stretch, you use your muscles. You know, you increase your blood circulation because there is a goal. There's a God-given goal, what God wants us to do. And I think that the author is saying we should be mindful what we go after and why we go after it. Because if it's not a God-given assignment, you're in the wrong vein. It's whatever I ask in his name, he will give to me. That means your vertical relationship with Christ has to be lined up, because he won't deny you anything, but you got to ask for the right thing. You can't say, oh, I want to jump off this cliff and bounce back, and if I ask God, he's going to give it to me. No, you got to make sure that what you want lines up with the word of God and what he wants, and he gives it to you, because he is the author. He's the provider of us.
Amen. Amen. Now, you said something, and I want to kind of stretch a little bit. No point in stretch, but I want to define stretch. And so it was interesting that when I use that term often enough, because, you know, I do a lot of teaching out of word. And so when I went to look up the definition, it only talked about, like, stretching your muscles, and so I had to go a little deeper to find out from a spiritual standpoint. But I wanted to give several definitions, because I thought it was
vital to what we're talking about. But it says stretching keeps the muscles flexible, strong, and healthy, and is needed to maintain the range of motion in the joint. Without it, the muscles shorten, and we have problems. And then it talked about mind stretching and how it's a process of teaching the brain new ways to think by connecting the right and the left brain more efficiently, increasing the ability to solve. And so when I thought about, you know, when we use that as a metaphor pretty much for how God stretches us, I was moved a little bit because many times people often say, you know, God don't allow bad things to happen to, you know, to his people. And I kind of chuckle when I hear that, and sometimes God allows me to answer that question, and sometimes he doesn't, just for the sake of argument, because, praise God, we do know that God does whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, and that there are several storylines in the Bible that talks about God allows certain things to strengthen people. Now, one of the things that me and my daughter had a conversation, and I'm going to ask you your opinion in a minute, about the words that we use are sometimes incorrect, that causes the argument for people to believe, no, God doesn't do that. And so the word was test. And I said, I don't believe God tests us, because tests are either pass or fail. And sometimes you never apply those tests again. But what I believe God does is he provides lessons. And so lessons are ongoing, because you usually will repeat that lesson until you get it. And so I believe God allows that. And I believe it's because we don't believe the word. And so to give you an example, I believe that everything that we need, God gave it to us, because he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I believe sometimes, because I don't necessarily believe that I can do all things, that God has to lift his hand and allow things to transpire for me to see, oh, wow, all I had to do was believe. And, you know, whatever I needed came to fruition. But the lesson was not to think that I was greater than him, to recognize that he's divine, that I can't control the situation or the environment to make it work for me. I have to allow him to lead the situation, and then through that, whatever I need will come to pass. And so I believe that there's lessons that God allows, you know, some things to kind of happen that don't feel good. But, you know, again, I love visuals, because God does the same thing when we have our children. We don't like beating them or whipping them, punishing them, probably is a better word to say. But nevertheless, it don't feel good, but it's necessary, because you learn the lesson. And so one of my other spiritual friends, she would, you my Gail, she would be my, what is that lady's name? Yvonne Van Zant, whatever, however you say her name. She's the one that's going to put it to me to make me understand. She's like, well, you know, if the Bible says to train up a child, you can't stop just because, you know, they get to a certain age. Our job as mothers is we have to train them. And even though they don't like the necessary course, but it's necessary. And so I would imagine God feels the same way. I've told you this before. The stove is hot. But for whatever reason, we got to see how close we can get. And then sometimes we put our hand on there and we get burned, and then we have scars even, because we just weren't obedient. He's already told us what to do, but we don't believe, so we do that. So do you believe that?
Those are like our faith. That is like our faith being increased. What to me, when you talked about the stretching and believing and the levels, that is our faith. That is when God is increasing our faith, because when we don't believe or we hesitate to believe and we have to learn those lessons that you talked about, that is where our faith gets strengthened. And that is what those lessons are for, so that our faith is increased, so that we don't have to keep believing for the small things, but that we can trust and believe in the big things. And that's where our faith is strengthened, so to speak.
Right. And so I think sometimes we forget, even for those that don't even believe God, they still understand the principles that you still have to learn a lesson. And so praise God, because we know the Father.
that we understand that, you know, he is our Father. And so he's going to teach us the right way even when we think we're going the right way. And so sometimes we have to be stretched in an area in order for us to understand. And so I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit from the little questionnaire that I gave you. But just even talking about, you know, both of us have experienced COVID. And both of us have experienced, you know, the aftermath of it. And then being able to see it from a different perspective than others that haven't had it see it. And how the stretching of that has made our world kind of groan, because they're still leaning to their own understanding and not listening to the wisdom of God. And so to me, this is another form of stretching to see, you know, what would we do in an environment where there's panic and chaos? You know, are the Christians going to line up and come together in prayer? One of the things that I think in the beginning bothered me so was that why the body of Christ didn't come together. I mean, we prayed with each other and, you know, people stayed in their own corners. But why, if we can have, what was that thing that we used to do in Atlanta with T.D. Jakes, Mega Fest? You know, granted, we can't be social distant, but, I mean, we could have done an online simultaneous. I mean, there's so many ways we could have been creative as a body of believers and prayed. So so I think that some of this, you know, a lot of the people suffering and a lot of the things that we didn't have or lacked was a form of stretching, because we didn't depend on God. We were depending on each other in the hospitals and the doctors. We weren't really depending on God like we should have. So do you see that from the same perspective, or how do you
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think even more so, having been a survivor of COVID and recognizing that some have not, I think when people come to me for prayer or tell me that they have COVID or a loved one, I think I've learned the lesson, so much so because I am a COVID survivor, that my prayers are more fervent, and I believe deep within my soul, because one of my really good friends, her son was in ICU with COVID, and he was 300 and something pounds, and she was really nervous. She said, "Well, you don't know, Elaine. You just don't understand. You don't have a son laying in the hospital." I said, "I've been in that hospital bed. I've been there. If God can do it for me, he can do it for your son." I said, "Every night before I close my eyes, I pray for your son. I pray that he will come out, he will come home to his children. And when I wake up in the morning and open my eyes, I pray for your son." And bless God, he did survive. And he had a really bad case. And like I said, he's over 300 pounds, he even fell, and they had to pick him up. But I think one of the things that transformed me is my belief level, especially when it comes to healing, especially when it comes to targeting COVID. So you're absolutely right in what you're saying.
So now I kind of want to go back there, because I did have you on the show before when you were just shortly after you came out of your healing. But do you believe during that time that God used you to stretch you in an area that you may not have perfected during that time,
absolutely,
that you saw maybe different?
Absolutely. I had just stopped working at the time. My insurance hadn't kicked in, so I was in the hospital with COVID and my insurance hadn't kicked in. I was sick with COVID during the time when they didn't know what to do. There was no vaccine. There was no antibody serum, you know. So I think, and I know God used me, that I could be an example that he is God. And no matter what, COVID or whatever, God is God, and that I was healed according to him. And not only that, he stretched my faith to the point where I walked away without owing a dime for a $22,000 bill at the hospital. So, yes, he stretched my faith, because I had been dependent on my job that I had been at and been good at. I was dependent on the insurance. I was dependent on walking in it. And yes, I've accomplished this, which goes back to the scripture. You know, do we do? It was that vanity. Was I saying it so that someone would be envious of me? Was I chasing it because that's what I thought was the way to go? Or was I in that position because of God? And I think he put me in that position, and I took COVID so that I could depend totally on him and understand that I have to believe God. I had to believe God. I had to believe God for my healing. I had to believe God that that bill was going to be paid. And make no mistake about it, I was stretched because there were days when I didn't know if I was going to live. I didn't know what was going to happen. And all I could do was lean on the altar of God. And when I say lean, I absolutely in my mind saw myself laying at the foot of the altar, laying, grabbing his feet, like, Lord, I ain't going nowhere and you ain't going nowhere. I felt like we're going to fight with like the angel and I'm going to walk away with my hip broken. But it was like, Lord, you're it. I don't have a choice. And that was, there was no Blue Cross Blue Shield. There was no doctor who had a pill that he could give me. It was only God. And I had to come to that point where that's who I had to depend on. Did I have family praying for me? Absolutely. Did I have friends praying for me? Absolutely. But for myself, I had to believe. I had to believe. And I have to stay in that belief. Even now with everything and, you know, oh, my God, Omicron, new variant, I am not moved. It's, you know, what is this all about? But that's okay. To God be the glory. We're going to be all right.
And I think, as you were saying that, it reminds all of us that, and you even told me during my time of healing, that I was convinced, because I really believe the word of God, and I stand on the word of God, but I think it was to a fault because I still had my own pride issue within that I believe God more than other people. And so when you checked me and you was like, Leah, you may think you can do a whole bunch of stuff, but you're not Superwoman. That is a fictional character. That is not real. That is not real. You need to sit down and rest. And I didn't understand that because I was sitting, and so I didn't get that. But it was rest your mind. You're not Superwoman. That is a fictional character. And so my stretching was learning how to really let God be divine again, you know, in the midst of me going through the lessons that I've had before. And my Yerba Vanna was like, Leah, you're going to keep going around this bush until you get it. But when you get it, I can't wait to see how God's going to use you, because you do stand on the word, and I do believe the word. But sometimes when it comes to me, I think I forget, because I just assume so much that God he's just going to make the way. So
but
I,
you know what's so good about that
when...
scripture about the vine and the branches? When you think about a vine and then a branch, it's not just one branch. There's
right.
branches on the branch. There's multiple branches. They're all connected to that vine. And that's where relationship comes in. That's where it comes in, where somebody who can speak life into your situation, like you say, encourage and uplift. That's why we're not supposed to be an island. That's why we're not supposed to be alone in this thing. And that prevents us from me and my vanity, depending on my resources, you thinking I'm Superwoman, because it's just not one branch connected to
right.
a vine. These are branches. And all the there's branch on the branch, on the tree, on the root. You know, all of that is connected together to that vine. And that is significant, because we can't do it by ourselves. That's very significant. It's not just one branch to the vine. There's multiple branches, and we all make it up. It's awesome.
And I thank God for you explaining that to me, because I had to really kind of absorb that, what that really means. And that's why even verse 12 in the passage of scriptures that we selected, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So it kind of puts you also in the mind of, you know, when the branch is really connected to that vine, they don't break off unless God purges it. And so he loves us, so he's not going to purge it. But we have to do our part so that it can bear the fruit that needs to be. But when I looked up three strands that are not easily or quickly broken, I like the symbolism that it explained. It said that it's a marriage, because many times they do this during weddings, where you have the man and the woman, and then, of course, God would be that third court. But the way they explained it, it was God, Jesus, and then you. And so God is the center of, you know, our core. And so if we stay true to him, staying with that vine, that we understand we don't fall off. You know, he prunes us, and that's part of the stretching that he does. But
Amen.
It's almost like you said, those other branches are designed. And so when you look at a tree, if it's just one branch, as you said, it wouldn't look much of a tree. But it has several branches, and then those branches produce leaves and produce fruit to make the tree look full. And so when we talk about being full, and how many times when I have these thoughts on how God really has covered me and brought me by keeping me around people that, you know, may not be in my face all the time, but those are the people that are the wind beneath my wings. I mean, it makes you shout that God thinks enough of me to keep me focused, to make sure I stay delivered, to make sure as I stay on top of things so that I can do the assignment that he's called me to be. And so the only thing I have to do is to be obedient. And so I believe in this hour, what God wants all of us to understand is that we have our own stretching and that we have our own assignments that we need to be true to, and that God is communicating with us all. And so if you find yourself being stretched, then there's an area of growth that God is trying to get you to fix, to kind of get you to be awakened, that this is an area of study for you to develop and be more in tune to what he's actually trying to get you to see. For me, a year, and I'm like, Lord, really a year? But it was a year's process for me to be sick a little bit, to really understand that, you know, Leah, you know, you've grown a whole lot, but I'm still the vine. I'm still the vine, and I still determine how this branch, this tree is going to grow, not you. I control that. And so my stretching was to help me understand that I had to drop the pride. It was to help me understand that the enemy, that's his job, is to throw darts. And, you know, it's hard for me to believe. Why can people be so mean? How can people be so selfish? How can people not be thoughtful? But that's not my concern. My concern is to do what God's called me to do, because I had gotten to a point where I was weak in the meaningless and believing, what is the point of me ministering? It's meaningless. Ain't nobody paying attention. Nobody, you know, listening. And then in the mist and in the shadows, I get text messages and emails where God was showing me, oh, thank you for your message, because such and such, didn't even know they were listening. Or, you know, and then just being reminded of the things, because half the time I don't remember what God has made me say when I'm on the broadcast. But people reminding me, remember what you said, especially you and my Yvonne, reminding me, remember what you said to such and such and such. And I'm like, I did. And so it's rewarding. And so for those of you that are listening, God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so even though we go through these major challenges in life, I mean, and COVID was no joke, but it's not, in my opinion, as big as we make it out to be, because it's not in the Bible. And God did not design that for us. And so since he didn't design it for us, we shouldn't give it more power than we give healing, because that is in the Word. He said that he would heal us. He said that he would, you know, deliver us from the things that this world throws out. But we forget because we're caught up in our own understanding. And so I think for me, my stretching was, again, Leah, you say that often enough, but you need to walk more in it. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust me, and I will direct your path. So
I wanted
so
to say one thing about
go ahead. I was going to say the time is flying by, so can you give us some final words of what you...
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, we all have our personal stories, you know, and for your listeners, what one of the examples out of the Bible, I went to Judges chapter 6 and 7, and it was about Gideon. And I love this story about Gideon, because Gideon was stretched. You know, he was a lesser person. He was a lesser part of the tribe Israel at the time was under, you know, oppression. They were going through some things. You know, they were hiding out, and Gideon was hiding out in a wine press, and he was threshing wheat. Okay, so that means he was trying to get his wheat to make his bread, but he was where they make wine. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, but God still found him. God still found him and talked to him and gave him guidance. And also, if you want to think about these walks, these challenges, our stretching, our lessons that we begin to grow in Christ, God even worked with Gideon so much that he allowed Gideon to say, well, if this is really you wanting me to do this, well, make this fleece dry when the fleece was supposed to be wet. God did it. Accept this burnt offering. God did it. So God walked with Gideon. Even though he didn't feel, you know, that he was acceptable, you know, whether we suffer with rejection or whatever, we suffer with pride, vanity, whatever our issue is, God will walk with you in your issue and stretch you and make you a mighty man or woman. Because in the end, we all know, Gideon started out with 600 men to fight the enemies of Israel. He ended up with, like, I don't know, like 30. I don't remember the exact number. But God took him through that process from him feeling insignificant, insecure, hiding out where he didn't have no place being. And God found him anyway, even though he wasn't supposed to be sitting in the wine vat working with wheat. God found him, and then God allowed Gideon to say, if this is really you, do this. If this is really you, do that. God worked with him because God is determined that we reach our goal. He loves us. He wants us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be successful, and he will work with us. I would encourage everybody to go to the book of Judges and read about Gideon. It's an awesome little story. It's an awesome little story about faith and being stretched and feeling and recognizing your own personal issues, because we all have them. We all have to deal with them.
Ma'am,
and it's a great story about your own personal issue and how God still worked with him, and he is known forever in the scripture, even though he thought he was less than. So I just wanted to really point out that, you know, if you like a good story, go to Judges, I think it's chapter 6 and 7, and it talks about Gideon and what happened with him. It's an awesome thing to read. So I just wanted to add that.
Yes, and I thank you for that, but I'm just reminded that God gave many accounts of people's lives in the Bible for us to glean and to grow from. And I think sometimes we forget that. Well, many times because we're not reading, but nevertheless, we need to read. We need to understand that we're not the only one, like the enemy wants us to believe, that we're the only one going through the challenges that we're going through. And it's not so, but we have to put our trust in God. And so if you find yourself being stretched, then you know that, praise God, there is a glorious end, because God will never leave us nor forsake us, because you have to remember that. But you have to do your part. You have to pray. You have to be in his word, and you have to be obedient to the things that he calls you to do. I don't know if you remember this, Lane. I don't know if you were at the church at the time when Pastor Landers had this as one of our goals, but it was the coolest thing to me. It was praise plus prayer plus obedience equals manifestation. So that's praise plus prayer plus obedience equals manifestation. And so when we're going through whatever we're going through, we have to praise God, because he's doing it for our betterment. It's the part of the stretching, part of the pruning that he does from the vines and from, you know, our lives to take off the stuff that we don't necessarily need. And then we pray, because we want to make sure that we're doing the things according to his plan and purpose. And when he shares those things with us, we have to be obedient to them in order for the manifestation to come forward. You gave the example about how God paid your bill, and how God gave me my example that once I yielded and gave it to him, he sent me to the right doctors. And when he sent me to the right doctors, not only are they dealing with the post-COVID that they found out that is not accurate, that I actually had the tumor from cancer. And then they removed that, And now we're dealing with, you know, the other things that I didn't even know I had a stroke. So dealing with those things and regulating my blood pressure, just the things that I didn't even know were a problem, how God is now moving me because I got out of the way and allowed myself to yield to him. And so thank you for sharing Judges 6 and 7. And then to add to your reading of Judges 6 and 7, read Ecclesiastes 4 and ask God to give you a better understanding to understand that sometimes the way that we think is meaningless, but the things that God has for us is always, always has a purpose and has a plan for us to be successful in the things that he's called us to. So Elaine, you know, as I always tell you when I close the broadcast, we can keep on talking because we're never out of talk, but we are out of time. And so I do thank you for being a guest on the show, and I do thank you for being my Gail. Amen. And they equate me to Oprah. Amen. Or maybe you made me Oprah and I was Gail.
Yeah, and your listeners, they right. Remember, I was the one that gave the war cry.
Right. Right. And I was like, oh, okay, amen. Yeah, let's do that. Amen. But I do thank you, love, and I thank you for being
thank
a good
you.
Friend and being a good person that leads me back to the word, because amen, what better way to be encouraged and to be enlisted and to be empowered is to be sent back to the one that created everything. So I thank you, thank you, thank you for your time, and I thank you for being here. We must go, so thanks again, and thanks again. So those of you that listened, that was Minister Elaine Donaldson / Gail or Oprah, whichever one she chose to be. Praise God in this instance. Amen. I thank you for tuning in, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. We always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, because I know she's always listening. She's my favorite cheerleader. And praise God, I know that she's always going to be my best support system. So I thank you, thank you, thank you, Granny, for your prayers and for you being you. So every praise belongs to God, absolutely. But more importantly, you have to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Until next week, be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Glory, hallelujah.
It's you, I-